Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Drunk women.
Getting paid to drink on a Wednesday. Life's not so bad.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are Drunk Women Solving Crime. Give me a cheer if you've listened to the podcast.
Okay. The front row then. Hi.
You will act as our shield. And give me a cheer if you have never listened to the podcast. Oh, welcome. Welcome. Taylor Glenn, introduce yourself.
Hi. Thanks for having me. That's great.
And ladies and gentlemen, this is Detective Katie Wilkins.
Hello. Yeah, you're right. You don't know me. I'm a stranger. You're right.
Stranger danger.
Stranger danger, which is what I tell my children, who I brought to Edinburgh like a fucking idiot.
This is pretty much Mum's night out, so watch Casey. She'll drop the first C-bomb.
It's Mum's night out, and it's almost... Look, we're halfway through our run. We've been having a blast, but it's almost like a science experiment at this point to measure the effects of alcohol on three very anxious women.
It's diarrhea,
Diarrhea. We're pretty confident in the results so far. Yeah. It seems pretty...
Only been 5 days, but
ironically,
yeah.
Solid results. Yeah.
And I still insist on wearing a jumpsuit. Why would I do that? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome and thank you for being with us. We're going to bring on a special guest in a moment. And then at the end, one of you will come up on stage and share about a time you were the victim of a crime. So have a little think. Have a little think about that. Just to give you an idea, on our first night, a woman came up on stage and she was accused of murder. So that, wrongly, I should say.
Wrongly, yes.
But yeah, that was an interesting one. Then the next night, a woman had just walked out of Pizza Express without paying. So just don't do either of those and come on up.
Yeah. And you get this lovely prize. Let's not say what it is. I don't want our listeners to know. Let them come to a live show and find out.
It's a night with Taylor.
Sorry in advance.
Watch as no one comes to do. No, many would. I'm trying to say many people would. Anyway. Welcome, if you just come in. I've just offended my friend. So, ladies and gentlemen, are you ready to meet our guests for this evening?
Yay!
Please. please put your hands together for the brilliant comedian Abby Clark.
Yay!
Woo! Abby! Welcome!
Hello.
Hey.
Oh my god, I wasn't on mic. I just told all my best jokes and you didn't even hear it.
Oh no.
I'll be boring from now on.
You're doing this the right way.
Thank you.
How are you, Abby? Are you well?
I'm fine. That was a fringe fine, I think. week two.
Yeah.
Voice has come back. So that's good news.
Very good news for a podcast. Abby, we ask one question on this podcast.
Yeah.
And that is, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
I have.
Go on.
Well, mine, quite boring. But I have witnessed a crime.
Okay.
And I had to go to court.
Oh.
Wow. That's pretty...
I know. Just
that's
out
not...
Just
right.
Saving the world.
You're welcome.
I'm not sure you're using the word boring correctly.
No, the ones committed against me, I was like, seriously, guys, up your game. Like, I have content to make. dull, like, didn't even make the gram story. but the ones I've been witnessing, great.
Yeah.
Great fun. Okay, fun's the wrong word.
What? I mean, let us be the judge. What happened in this?
Okay, so it was Edinburgh Fringe.
Ooh.
I was a young, naive university drama student. So obviously I was dressed as Virginia Woolf, correct? I was giving the performance of my life on the Edinburgh Mile. I was up on like one of those bollards, like, you know, like lock up your libraries, you know, all that. Like, I was doing a monologue, and I had the rest of the cast as well. We were all dressed in period dress, performing.
Is that the crime?
Because no. Okay. That was just a social crime. And really, I hate that you've made me bring it up. But I was the main part. Anyway, I saw a theft happen, right? Mm-hmm. A man stole a woman's handbag, and I went, "Someone stop that man!" but because I was in period dressed on the Edinburgh Mile,
everyone
thought it was a performance.
Yeah,
and they were like, "Finally, you're doing something good." So no one did anything, and the only people who knew I was performing was the rest of my cast. So then this thug was then pursued down the Edinburgh Mile by about 8 people in period dress.
Stop that brute!
Wow.
Please, a man, come help. Mostly the boys, some very arrogant kind of university boys in their chinos, like, I got this, babe, I got this. They pursue it down, ringing the police, and then I had to go...
Did they get him?
Yeah. So we got to... I look back and it was actually quite dangerous. That's so wild. So random. Anyway, we got to his apartment, and we waited outside because justice comes before no man. And then the police came and they're like, "Oh yeah, we know this guy."
Okay.
And all the boys, you know, they'd taken over. They were like, like, yeah, I learned taekwondo on my gap year, actually. I went to XT Uni. And then they were like, "Well, did any of you witness the crime?" And then all the boys had to back down. They were like, "No, actually, no, I didn't see it." And then I was like, "Yes." And so then I had to go to the police station dressed as Virginia Woolf.
Wow.
I passed a boy I kind of fancied on the way, and I was like with a police officer. So I was like, "Rah." I was like, "Bad girl." And then immediately bumped into someone, and the policewoman turned around and was like, "What are you doing?" And then, yeah, I had to do a little witness statement as Virginia Woolf.
Wow.
It was written beautifully. Like, there is no gate, no lock, no bolt you can set upon the freedom of my mind. And they were like, "Babe, you're just here as a witness." Yeah, and then I got a letter through the post weeks later, and I had to come back to Edinburgh and go to court.
Oh, shit.
Right, yeah. Can I say Edinburgh is so fucking lovely outside the Fringe.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a lovely visit.
I got put up, got a hotel, got a Nando's.
Did they pay for your Nando's?
No, I only treated... Yeah.
Really?
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah, expensive.
Oh, I'm going to start looking out for more crime. I didn't know you got chicken.
Yeah.
It pays to be a good person.
I know.
Well, they should call them like food Samaritans or like something that, yeah. that I should.
Yeah.
If it was, no. No. You know when you think of a joke and you're like, I might do that at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, the biggest arts festival, and you go, no, because I was going to say that if you're
we're going to do it anyway now.
I'm going to do it because I know you want to.
That's
hear
what
it.
Editing's for.
Oh, the build-up now.
Yeah, oh, God. If you're a vegetarian, I would have said you were a vigilante. It's the instant feedback I like.
Yeah,
thank you!
Yeah. I'd keep workshopping it. I like it.
Mostly the front row. So
I really appreciate this audience's candor.
Yeah.
I do too, but I can't figure you people out. All you want is wordplay, and like all your favorite stuff is like, oh, what a pun. And then then you get so mad when we do it. What do you want? Anyway,
so Abby, what happened then? You went to court?
I did. I went to court. I was warned that you'd spend a lot of time in the waiting room. I think that's what it's called. So I re-downloaded The Sims. Because what passes time? Like an entire lifetime ended in a swimming pool. Yeah. I had to kill him in childhood, though, because it actually turned out I was up real quick. And then I was taken into like a little room, and I'm pretty sure they put the defense witnesses and the prosecuting witnesses in the same room, because I'm pretty sure I was in the room with his mum. Like,
oh, wow.
Pretty much 100% sure. And then I went in, and I realized only when I shouldn't really admit this.
Go on.
Oh, no.
I did the vigilante, so you
I said I wasn't the only witness, and I don't think he was on just for stealing a handbag. Okay. They knew him. Remember, they knew him. But I realised once I got in the room with the people, I was like, all I remember was that we kept being like, oh, he's a bald man with a blue jumper. He's a bald man with a blue jumper. And that's kind of all I remembered about him. And I was like, they could present me with any bold man.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because I went in.
Carl Pilkington.
And they were like, they like to do this little trick with you. They're like, is the defendant in the room? And I said, yes. And they said, can you point him out? And I went, the bold one?
In the red jumper? Nothing gets past me.
I'm like, did he have to wear a suit? It just would have been helpful if he wore what he was wearing at the time.
Is that why they wear wigs here in court? So you can't do that.
Okay, the defendants don't wear the wigs. You need to know that.
Okay.
It's tricky, though. It made me realise how, like, not reliable witness testimony is.
Yeah.
Because,
yep.
Yeah.
Like, I don't remember how he threaded his eyebrows. Like, I don't remember specific things about that. I was thinking about me and the boy I fancied. I was on an Edinburgh fling. Like, I had other priorities. But there were other witnesses, and I'm sure I didn't send an innocent man away. At least that's what I tell myself to sleep at night.
So do we know the verdict? Did he go down?
I don't know. So they did say you can let us know if you want to know. But I'm just bad at admin, and I just left it too long. / kind of didn't want to know because I didn't know if I got the wrong card. Well, I told you I shouldn't have said. I was going to take that to my grave.
The other question we ask on this podcast, we always ask it, and we say, what would you say to that person now? I'm assuming it's sorry.
I'm sorry. But, yeah. I'm sorry your dad didn't give you a better hairline. Don't feel bad for him. He stole a handbag. It's a bad guy.
Oh, man. You were Virginia Woolf this whole time.
I had to return to court as Virginia Woolf. They only accepted the testimony if I was in the outfit.
Well, sure.
Oh, wow. Well, that's the most Edinburgh crime that we've had so far.
Really,
so
is.
Thank you very much for sharing. Yeah, you're right. You're right to clap.
Thank you.
We will now move on to the second part of this podcast, and that's when I will tell you about a true crime, and you guys will see if you can solve it for me.
Ooh. Oh my God, I'm so excited.
We mean that in the loosest sense.
Is he bald?
Yeah.
If he's bald, he's going down.
Hold that thought. So, today, our case involves a man the FBI called Mr. 880. First question to you is, why was he called Mr. 880? And what do you think his crime was?
Darts.
Darts?
he just played darts. And he called it a sport.
We've got darts from Abby. Taylor, Katie.
880. Was it a symbol for something? Because as soon as I think of an eight, was he like infinity zero for some reason? Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I've been at this for 2-3 years.
That's Katie. Good. Well, did he steal 880 diamonds?
Okay. Do you know what, guys? That was a bit of a trick question, because actually he was called Mr. 880 because it was just the name on his file. Really? Yeah, super,
oh,
super.
It was 180.
Yeah.
I thought it was 180.
I just...
Darts now seems really random.
It didn't to me, because I don't know the rules. It's like, ha ha, darts.
Sports.
So,
yeah, listening.
So it was just the case number. It was just the case number.
Just the case number, and it just
So it's just like social services now.
Yeah,
it was all sexy before.
Well, this guy, he was a counterfeiter, so he counterfeited money.
Ooh.
And since I've turned up here, I've had loads of counterfeit money. It could be Scottish money, I'm not sure, but I have to go back and check that.
Women on the money here.
Yeah, we were looking at Scottish money earlier, and it's all happening. Bitches.
And squirrels.
Yeah.
It's like the one place in the UK that gives a shit about women and animals. It's really nice. Might move here now that climate change has kicked in.
Oh, God. So basically,
what are these animals? Oh, they were called squirrels.
Oh no!
Funny because it's true. It's
funny because it's terrifying. I should say we're in New York. It's a glamorous one.
Oh,
it's
okay.
1930s. That's an exciting time in New York. The operation to find him was one of the most extensive and expensive counterfeit investigations in American history.
Oh.
He was described as a mastermind, but here's the twist: the counterfeit notes were just crap. Like, they were dog shit. Like, counterfeiters usually kind of take really, really good pride in their work because they have to be good. But this guy did not. So the FBI thought Mr. 880 was deliberately mocking them. They were like, who is this guy? Now, my question to you is, what do you think was particularly crap about these counterfeit notes?
Well, first of all, was this a Monopoly man? This where this comes from? Were they pink and small and he rode in a shoe? I don't know.
I don't get why the FBI took it so personally.
I know.
Oh, they're
the
so
FBI
touchy.
Take everything personally. Are you kidding? That's where all the insecure men go.
100%. We went on an FBI tour when I was in high school, and those fuckers have no self-esteem. Like, they are just proving we're doing the right thing. Yeah. So we're just like, when are we going to lunch? Anyway.
Anything in particular about these dollar bills?
Was it just written?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Female workplace.
Go on. When we apologise to each other, we sing that.
If we interrupt
and apologise, we sing female workplace. Because it's rude and Taylor's sorry.
I am.
I don't feel safe. I just asked
we actually have to stop the show if someone says that. No, I'm joking. Abby, go on. What do you think? You've got some counterfeit notes in front of you. They're shit. Why are they shit? You say handwritten.
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
Like felt tip pen.
Yeah.
I think he put the dates in the future.
Oh, space money.
That would be like fucking with someone.
That's backing yourself, though.
Please. Please tell me they were just printed on one side.
Well, for a start, they were only $1 bills. Now, that's unusual because if you're going to counterfeit money, you're going to go for a bigger bill. You put a zero and it's kind of times 10 the amount. I can do maths. It's $10. You put two zeros.
Wait, you think aim high, I'd do £10.
Yeah. Not too high.
I've never seen more. That's as high as they get, right?
So the bills were printed on cheap paper that you could buy from like a W.H.
Cheap
Smith.
Cheap paper?
No, cheap.
Cheap. Because it's like wool is actually very pricey.
And this
and
is
my husband's allergic to it. I'm just throwing that in there for no reason. And he's Welsh.
Oh, brag. Oh. You have a husband. We got it.
I know. But I don't wear a ring just to, you know, keep it open. It's because my fingers are too fat.
The like the official description of George Washington on these dollar bills was that he looked like a zombie. He had...
That means he just made him thinner. That was complimentary.
Yeah, yeah, this is just goth money.
He had black blotches for eyes.
Oh, no.
And my favourite bit is that Washington was just spelt incorrectly.
Wow.
Well, so, first up, what kind of person do you think would do this? Are we working with a mastermind here? Just, I want to get your initial thoughts, and as we go through it, we'll see who was right. What do you think?
Like, so, what, prankster extraordinaire that knows how to press all the buttons of the FBI?
Yep.
Or a fucking idiot?
These are your two choices.
I pick Dennis the Menace.
Dennis the Menace? Okay, we're going Bino.
Is it, like, could it be, like, a child?
Right, okay. Ooh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got a precocious child. Mm.
Was he like a stockbroker that lost all his money in the crash? And he just went a little bit loopy and he's like, I'll draw my own money! Take that, Washington! You got raisins for eyes! That's what stockbrokers sounded like.
Yeah. I've heard a recording, that's true.
From the FBI tapes.
Yes, from the 1930s.
It was on that documentary.
So Mr. 880 eludes the FBI for a decade. There are $7,000 worth
That's
of...
That's 10 years.
$7,000 worth of dollar bills seized. That's the equivalent of about $90,000 today. And bear in mind that as this became a bigger and bigger thing in New York and people started finding out about these dollar bills, if people got one of those dollar bills, they kept it because they were like, this is hilarious. Of course I'm keeping it.
Yeah.
So the number was
like
probably...
the Beanie Babies of their time.
Wow.
Yeah, the number was probably a lot higher. So Agent James Maloney, who ran the case, described it as unbearably provoking.
I don't know what that means.
Neither did he.
It means he was super triggered.
Okay. Is that like a dictionary corner? I don't have Google. I'm on airplane mode.
It was the worst thing for him. He was
it's
just
not
like,
a proper turn of phrase, let's be honest. It should be unbearably provocative, or it should just be provocative because the unbearably is sort of implied. Provocative.
So he was sexy.
I mean,
I get it.
Agent James Maloney, he kind of, yeah.
Okay. I'd like to change my answer. It's not a child.
Isn't it funny how sexy the surname Malone is, but if you add that EY, like, it's out the window. I just find that fascinating. Malone. Maloney. That's what I had for lunch today on white bread with some mustard. Like, it's just... I say what I think. Make your own podcast. You can do the same. I've had the most to drink tonight. We have to take turns.
It was funny. Yeah, we were having dinner and we were about to leave and you were like, another wine! So after 10 years, they find Mr. 880. They find him. James, smoking hot James, saunters into the room and says, I fucking got him. But actually, Abby, you brought up children earlier. It's actually a group of children who cracked the case.
They cracked the case. And then cracked themselves.
It's not...
They're like, oh, shit!
It's not kids that did it. But basically, it's a snowy afternoon in January of 1948, and some boys are playing in the street when they discover something hidden in the snow on the sidewalk. What do they discover?
like a money printing machine?
I mean, money printing.
Whoops! Don't know what else. There's no bodies in this case. A severed arm holding a counterfeit bill.
Either a key or maybe a box or a bag with some money in it. That was the dollar bill money.
Okay. Abby, any advance on either of these ridiculous answers?
Don't be intimidated by... We've been doing this a lot longer than you, honey.
I'm a little bit drunk. Can you repeat the question?
Okay. So some kids find something on a sidewalk, which eventually leads to Mr. 880 being found. What is it?
Okay. His ID.
His ID. Okay, some ID. Okay, that's
like a driving license, just that for his horse and cart. Just there in the snow. And it's got a little bit of green dye on it.
Nice. Well, actually, do you know what? As ridiculous as your answer sounded, it was two zinc engraving plates. So your man is using engraving plates to print the money. And they found 30 funny-looking dollar bills. So they find some of his dollar bills. So essentially a bag of dollar bills, really.
Sweet.
And his ID? I mean, in effect, wasn't it his ID?
We're all right. We're points all for fair. Everyone.
Thank you, female workspace.
I'm so sorry. I've got to pull down my dress and hoik up my biker shorts. Just give me a second.
Okay, little interlude.
I feel like we...
I just won't enjoy myself.
So for the listeners, Taylor did exactly what she said she was going to do.
And that hopefully made an audible noise that Amanda, our producer...
I did hold my microphone to your face now.
This is why you should come to a live show.
So
they call it the Spanx mic. Is the Spanx mic on?
Drunk women solving crime.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Basically, yes, they found the dollar bills. And what had happened is Mr. 880's block of flats had had a fire. So everything was sort of slightly singed. So the boys have these dollar bills. Do you think they take them straight to the police? And if not, what do they do with them?
Oh, they buy sweets.
Oh, it's a bit more adult. That sounds awful. No, it's
cigarettes.
They buy cigarettes. Porn.
We got sweets. We've got porn.
They set up their own money counterfeiting business.
Ooh.
In the basement of the school. And then they wash the cash. They wash the cash.
Oh, like money laundering.
At the school disco.
Oh!
On Fredo Frogs.
I wish.
Oh my god, I got it!
I wish that happened. What happened is they it's so like 1940s kids in New York. They just play poker with it.
Oh,
I immediately thought of that picture and I was like, oh my god, the picture with the children and the poker, and then I was like, that's dogs, isn't it?
Yeah. That history of the dogs.
Wait, how many dollar bills were there? Did they pay with three bills?
There was 30 dollar bills in the bag, but...
Okay. Sounds like a low stakes game.
Yeah.
They broke it first.
But their one of their dads is a fucking narc and just took the money straight to the police. And the FBI managed to trace the plates back to the building that had set on fire. They were like, we found it here. This is where it came from. Ooh. So they've got their man. And a few weeks later, Mr. 880 was back in the building. The fire hadn't destroyed the place. So the FBI, we've got James Maloney Baloney. He busts into the building and they expect to find a criminal mastermind with a sophisticated setup. But what what were they greeted by?
A dog.
Playing poker.
Playing poker in a little bow tie.
Any advance on dog playing poker in a bow tie?
I'm really picturing like some kind of Gotham City Joker's lair.
Oh, okay.
Like the real kind of like...
Sorry. I just love that you had to pick the mic back up from opening the hole.
All right, go on.
Hannah, that's the prize, Prosecco.
There is one more out back.
Shall I go get it? Because I've been talking too much. You guys have a great time. I'll be right back.
She's gone to Sainsbury's because I've already drank the other one.
I mean, let's be honest. Who would buy a ticket to just women solving crime? So, there's a reason most of the FBI are male guys. No one wants it.
Hey!
Oh, I was going to do that as you did it. Can you do it again? Do it again. No. Come. Oh, no. Fuck. To say something really good.
Oh, yay!
Yeah. So we've got dog in a bow tie. What else? What do you think? What do you think, Mr. 880? And I should say, was it even a mister? Because the FBI are the ones that have dubbed him.
I never said the dog was a boy. How dare you gender my dog? It was a cat. There you go, now it's a girl.
So we've got a cat dog.
All right, I'm changing my answer from the Joker to Dr. Evil with a cat.
Okay, Dr. Evil with a cat.
I think it was a guy called Barry, and he's in his pants in the middle of the day. What would you be doing in the 30s?
48 at this point.
Oh, okay.
And just in case that decade is really going to make a difference.
He could have been smoking weed, maybe a bit of whiskey.
I think he has a whole family.
Okay.
And he's been doing this on the side. So I picture some kids. Oh, I think he's a stay-at-home dad.
Nice.
Can I change my answer?
Go on.
It's Maloney's mum.
Oh, that's the twist that I wish was happening. It's not as good as that.
Okay, I'll go back to the dog then.
No, what it was a man.
You lied to us.
I just thought I'd open
up. I was ready for some female empowerment.
She challenged our assumptions.
It was.
You were ready for a woman to have done shitty counterfeiting. Yay!
That's true. It's true.
We can do shitty.
We're great
crimes.
At arts and crafts.
There's glitter on it.
Darling, get a hobby. And she did. No, she didn't. This is Emmerich Juttner. He's 73 years old. He is grinning at Maloney.
73.
He's 73. He's 73. He's 5'3". Aww. He's skinny. He's bald.
What did I say?
And he's got hardly any teeth.
Was he wearing blue?
Was he wearing blue?
They always wear blue, I tell you.
The document did not say, but he was very cheerful. And immediately answered all the FBI's questions. They asked him how long he'd been making the bills, and he said about 10 years. And they were like, "So you admit it?" And he was like, "Yeah, of course I admit it. They were only $1 bills. I never gave more than one of them to any one person, so no one ever lost more than $1."
Ah,
isn't he cute?
And the
like, and
very
then,
unexpectedly adorable.
I know, literally, like, as soon as you leave this room, Google a picture because he's...
Oh, little Mr. Juttner.
Oh, my God, he is like a little dog that's maybe, like, really old and bachelor.
So I was right.
Yeah. So what do you think makes a 63... Because he was 63 when he started, 73 mm-hmm. when they found him. Oh. What makes a 63-year-old start making counterfeit notes? He's never done this before. He has no record. He's an innocent man. He's a normal man.
It's going to be like a Breaking Bad thing. There was no NHS.
Okay.
And he had medical bills.
Okay. Which he paid for in cash.
By $1.
$1 at a time.
One for you to the nurse, one for you to the radiographer, one to you.
The surgeon's like, no, I need more.
Yeah. What do you think starts? We've got Breaking Bad situation.
Oh, I think he just retired and was bored.
Okay. But I mean, I think that's valid.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Like my dad
it's
started...
not funny, but no. It could actually be right for once.
It might be right. So... was he a widower? Had he lost his wife and he was bereft and he's like, I need a hobby? Always wanted to get into printing.
Ding, 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 ding.
Really?
I mean, I didn't want to say ding, 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 ding when you said his wife died, but that is the reason. It was, basically, he'd had a relatively uneventful life. He'd moved from Austria when he was 13. He was happily married. They'd had two children. He worked as a maintenance man. He got to 63 and they said, you're too old to be a maintenance man.
Oh.
I know, right? The US were in the middle of a recession. And then his wife dies. So he's left on his own. He doesn't have any income and there's nothing to really help this guy. So he thought he could... he thought, right, okay, I know what I'll do. And there was something that he did in his early 20s that could have helped him become a counterfeiter.
Oh.
What was it that he used to do? It was a hobby.
Making plates that you can engrave money with.
Okay.
Like a printing press? Did he work in like...
A printing press?
Pottery painting?
He liked pottery. Well...
Artist?
Well, he was an inventor.
Inventor?
That's not a thing. That's a boy who had no friends.
Oh,
Emma. Oh, Jay, he's a criminal!
I mean, it's kind of sad. He was kind of a wannabe inventor. Like,
yeah,
he
wannabe. See, now you've changed your tune. Because I hate Mom. I put balloons on the dog. No, it can fly. Get friends, Billy. The dog's not your friend. I don't know why I keep going back to dogs.
I just want to know more about Billy. Is he okay? Emmerich invented a new type of camera, which Kodak rejected immediately. He invented a new type of Venetian blind, which the Venetian blind guys rejected. I don't know who they were.
They were like, this isn't a Venetian blind. This is just a piece of paper, Billy. Just I'm saying, if he was good at it, it would have been his job.
Absolute brutality.
What's the point unless you can monetize it? And that's capitalism.
So basically, it was his love of like photography that was the real thing. And he had invented this camera. So basically, he essentially took a picture of a $1 bill and then
ignored it. And just went freehand.
I mean, I don't know exactly how this works. He obviously made some plates and stuff, but it said that he transferred the images to a pair of zinc plates, apparently using a bath of acid.
Why so he could have murdered.
Yeah. I
mean, is anyone else not disappointed that this wasn't a murder story?
Well, you hear true crime, you're like, I want a dead woman.
Right?
At least one dead woman.
What a waste of acid. That's all I'm saying.
So basically,
I've got to do a show after this.
You're literally going straight
to your thing. I'm literally going to a new up and coming comedians showcase. Like, this is my career.
It was your career.
So I'm going to take up inventing. I feel good about it.
Oh, you're totally going to have like three reviewers. Confusing. Steve Bennett.
Talking about dogs.
You'll be great. You'll be great.
Thanks. He filled in the smaller details by hand, as we know, misspelling Washington. He knew the bills were crap, but he kind of had a conscience about it because he was like, I'll only ever use enough bills to survive. And actually $90,000 or whatever, over 10 years, like that's not an awful lot of money. He'd always use them at rush hour because if anyone like looked at them, they'd be like, hey, that's not a dollar bill.
He was relying on people being in a rush?
Yeah.
Or was he just like throwing it into cars? What?
He was just like, if you do it quicker, and he'd never go to more than one, like he'd never go to a shop more than once. Because
yeah. Was he just going to like the pound store?
Yeah,
he was just living, right? Like it's like a bagel on your commute.
Yeah, because
I lived in New York,
a dollar
guys.
At a time.
I know how it works.
But back in the day, I guess like a dollar was maybe worth more like $10
right.
or $20. So it's not like he's gone out and spent a pound at a time.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's kind of... And
That was £1 million back in that day. Buying boats.
He never got greedy. And I think that's why I like this guy. And also like, so he ends up in court and it's a huge case. Loads of people are watching it. He's become a bit of a character, really.
Yeah.
And everyone finds it quite funny, including the judge, which I like. And Emmerich's kind of really charismatic. And he wore a cute little fraying grade suit and a little wrinkled hat. So
he's a criminal.
Stop.
feeling sorry for him.
He faces three counts: possession of counterfeit plates, manufacturing the bills, and using the bills. Each of them come with a possible 10-year sentence.
What and he's like, I've got 5 years max. It's the 30s. I'm malnourished. Do your worst. Seriously.
What do you think the judge gave him, time-wise?
Death sentence.
I mean, I suppose, yeah, anything above 6 or 7 years is...
They just did a little jump scare and he just died on the spot. Little heart attack.
Boom! He banged his gavel really hard.
Yeah.
Any advance on death sentence?
Maybe just let him off.
Okay.
He was so adorable.
Do you know what? Okay, adorable, let him off. Taylor?
Service?
Service? Okay. I'll tell you what he did. He was given a year and a day. And that is the least you can possibly get. So the judge was very, very lenient.
After what he did.
He was also given a fine. How much was the fine?
$1.
Ah, I love it. Say it with me. How much was the fine?
$1.
It was $1.
It really was.
And everyone in the courtroom laughed. And
this judge was like, I'm going to end up in a like dramatic reenactment one day. Netflix, here I come.
Yeah. At the first, I'll go on a sort of successful podcast. So he was given a year and a day. Find a dollar. So in the 50s, Emmerich's story was made into a film. Does anyone know the film?
Catch Me If You Can.
No, it wasn't, but that is a really good true
good
crime.
Film.
Yes, we've covered the Catch Me If You Can
guy. The film was made in the 50s.
Yeah, it was.
Charlie was it? Chaplin.
It well.
Airplane. Wizard of Oz.
Security code millennial. Code millennial.
How dare you? I am Gen Z.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I'm on the threshold. I'll be
I'm a geriatric millennial. That's my favourite thing. It's just, it's cute. Okay.
How's that working out?
Not great.
I'm so, Generation X.
It starred Edmund Gwenn, who was the guy who played Father Christmas on Miracle on 34th Street.
Oh, okay.
So that gives you an idea of the kind of the cuteness we're dealing with here. Edmund
they always make them fitter in the film, though.
Yeah, they do. If you look at Edmund and then you look at your man, Emmerich.
Did he have teeth in the film?
Do we know the name of the film or do we have to guess?
You can guess.
Money for Nothing.
Ooh. Any advance on that?
Chicks for Free.
Oh my gosh. Do you know that I thought that they were saying money for nothing and checks for free? Like money free banking. I mean, until like 5 years ago. Someone heard me singing along. They're like, it's chicks.
Any advance on that, on the name of the film about Emmerich?
No.
So basically, Edmund Gwenn, Father Christmas, he was nominated for an Oscar for his role.
Wow.
Yeah, this isn't no independent movie. This is
I hope
big...
they let little old bald man in prison get some of the money.
They did. He made more money from selling his life rights than he ever did from
counterfeiting.
Yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, here is to Mr. 880. Cheers.
Yay. What was his surname? Mr. Junker?
He was Emmerich
Junket?
Jutner. And I'm assuming I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's J-E-U-T-T-N-E-R for your Googles as soon as you leave.
Jutner.
Set your heart to melt because, my God.
Aww.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's the time in the show where we want to hear...
We need you now.
If anyone here has been accused of murder...
Here comes the purple lights of doom!
Oh, and God bless you at the back for standing for the whole show. Thanks for your time.
No, they're just giving us a standing ovation. That happens when I'm here.
You've been there the whole time.
Oh, now, apart from this crime that's just happened, sorry, guys. Does anybody want to come up and tell us a time you've been a victim of a crime? Oh, I spot a man in the back.
Wow.
Come on down.
I don't like how keen he was.
Hello.
Come on down.
We're really nice to boys.
Hi.
What is your name, sir?
Gordon.
Gordon! Yeah. Gordon Bennett, come here. Okay. Yeah. Gordon.
Yes. Okay, just because he looks a little bit like your husband, calm down. I swear to God,
we get it.
Man
you have
gets
husbands.
Close to this one, and she's like,
I should have shaved a beard. I was just.
No, please don't.
No, okay.
It works for you. It's working for me. My husband is literally sat there. Hello, darling. I will not be home tonight. And I imagine I think your partner is sat there as well.
Not, even, like not even my wife. My wife's away.
Oh, so who the fuck is that? No. I saw you were sat with a woman.
I am, and it's a friend of mine.
I'll allow it. Yeah.
Okay. Hannah, do you want to swap seats?
I mean, she's genuinely away. My wife is genuinely away.
Okay, all right.
Gordon, did you kill did your you? Wife?
No, so, I mean,
where's she away? She away?
So she's up north.
See, just, he's not being specific.
That's that's a euphemism for the freezer. Yeah, so. Yeah.
Also, you cannot get further north than Edinburgh. We are north.
That's what I thought when I moved up here, but I mean, there seems to be loads of shit north of here.
Gordon, I tell you what.
She's in the septic tank.
Gordon, shut your sexy mouth and tell us. Tell us about your crime, please.
Okay, so are we? Am I the victim or the perpetrator? Because I've got both.
Oh! Do you know what? For the sake of our producer, who sometimes like is just like, don't let anyone say when they've done a crime. I'll have to cut around the names of Pizza Express.
She's a very heavy smoker. Like...
So I've been accused of a crime.
Okay. Ooh, is it a bad one?
No, not.
Okay, good, 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 good. Okay, so do you know what? We've got upwards of 10 minutes, we'll do both, and we're going to judge you at the end.
We'll do victim first, surely.
Victim first, so we get a little bit of kind of we feel sorry for you, and then ruin it.
Okay. We've got to like you, Gordon.
Yeah. So turned up at home and to find my front door like in pieces,
oh, no.
And I'd been on holiday for 2 weeks, and my front door, my friend picked me up, and my front door was just a piece of like metal sheeting, and I was just what on earth?
That just sounds like the bailiffs came.
Yeah. Well,
will you speak right into the mic? Just because when I send this episode to your wife, I need to make sure.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Can I give you some stage technique, Gordon? Yes. You're really ignoring the left wing.
I am. I mean, I think ignoring the left wing is what most of us in the UK have done.
Gordon's looking for a podcast of his own.
And this is serious. If they've got the metal sheeting up, the police have been.
Big metal sheeting, the police. And I looked at my friend. I was like, "Oh my god, what?" You know. So we pull up, and I run straight into my front room, thinking because my most precious possession was my TV.
Sure.
So and I see the
TV. Again, his wife
sending it to your wife, Gordon.
So is it, you know,
not the marriage album.
No. So I see the TV still there, and I'm like, and I was like, you know, my flatmate. Oh, I wasn't married at the time. My flatmate is sat there, and I'm like going, "What the?" He was on the phone. I was like, "What the fuck?" And he's just like,
Gordon so we needs had to be cool.
We had to go. So we had to go to the pub for him to explain to me what happened.
That is how repressed men are in this country.
Well, no,
like, I can't speak without alcohol.
No.
There needs to be a football match in the background.
So.
Oh, poor Gordon. I'm sorry.
Well, no, not at all. Because actually, what happened was like we the lady that lived in the flat above us. it's quite awkward. So. So the lady that lived in the flat above us, we knew because like she had to walk past the weird setup was she had to walk past our living room to get into her flat, and apparently what had happened while I was on holiday was that she'd gone out with her boyfriend and a friend, and then she'd gone to bed and then woken up, and because he wasn't in bed, she'd gone thinking he'd just sort of passed out on the sofa to put a blanket on him to find him fellating his male friend.
I wasn't expecting that.
No, at which point, like, she went mental.
Okay.
He went mental, and it all got quite violent. So then she locked herself in the room, called the police. And then he
did
the
she
phone
use the word fellatio?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I knew her quite well, and I would suggest that that is not the word that she
used. Just being
in,
polite
when she was telling the story, and then of course because the phone got cut off.
Oh no!
They charged up and like you know.
Oh, so
like,
the police knocked it down.
The police knocked smashed the door in. And,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wait, so fellating is a crime? So,
I mean, I think it's frowned upon if you're in a relationship with someone of the opposite. I think it's frowned upon even if you're in a relationship with someone of the same sex, I would say.
Oh, but you can call the police.
But it seems as though he may have turned maybe slightly violent, and that's why she calls the police. They come in.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Shit. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
What story? Okay.
I was just quite glad my TV wasn't nicked, though.
Gordon, dare I ask?
Yeah, what was the crime I was accused of?
Yeah. Oh, just accused?
No, accused. I was accused.
Did you do it?
Well, let's not say who did what to who and why.
Who did you fillet?
I did not. I fellated no one, but I was living in Italy. I was. I taught English as a foreign language for a couple of years in Milan. And
we can all do languages, yeah. Gordon.
And
I wasn't before, but I'm hot for him now. So. That's two out of four, Gordon. Keep going.
I've got 5 minutes to just smash this out of the bag.
Go on, what did you do? Were you on a moped?
Just trying to guess what the hobbies are of the remaining two. Just
remaining two? They're married.
We were going away for the weekend. To one of my flatmates, had a student that had a place on the coast. So we were going there. And we had to get the train from Milan to Geneva, where we trained.
Who's Geneva?
Geneva. Where we were changing at Geneva to go on to this place.
He'll find you hotter if you play dumb. it's a good technique.
She's gone now.
Sorry, go on. You've gone to Geneva.
We've gone to Geneva and we've changed trains and we arrived at Geneva and we walked into what looked like the French Connection. There were the army, undercover police, sniffer dogs everywhere. And as we got to came up an escalator, and as we got to the top of the escalator, there was a guy in an army uniform with an Alsatian, and this Alsatian went off
so
like
cute.
I'd got pedigree chum smeared all over me.
Wow.
So I just carried on walking, and the next thing I know, I've got an arm on my shoulder and I'm being taken into a back room of Geneva Police Station, being accused of having drugs on me.
Wow.
And did you and Ibby got any now? It's a long fringe.
Yes and no.
Oh, so you had drugs on you?
You did.
I did.
Oh, yes. How did? Were you shitting yourself?
Yes.
Is absolutely. That what the dog smelled?
Yeah. No, I did. I
Wait, was it just like paracetamol?
I was strip searched. Not full cavity, fortunately.
Is that where they were?
No, they were in a pocket. I was just lying the whole time, pretending I
Wait, what
had
drugs
no
are
idea.
They?
It was just a bit of weed.
Oh my god, you're so cool.
Believe me, when you've got your pants around your ankles and an Italian police sergeant screaming in your face, it doesn't feel as cool as you would think.
But it's so funny that they strip search someone but don't check their pockets.
The worst bit was my girlfriend, who was Italian, she kept saying, if you've got anything, just admit it. And I was thinking, this may be how it works where you are, but where I am, you lie and lie and lie until you absolutely have to lie.
Wait, where were you? So, Parliament? Well,
I mean, I think I've missed out on a career in politics.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
Gordon, you've never worked a day in your life.
No. So I lied. Sense. I kept lying. And she got strip searched as well.
Oh,
and
no.
Then later that night...
They were
when
like,
we
don't
finally,
check her pockets. She won't have any.
When we finally got released...
That was the best feminist joke we've ever had on this podcast. That was incredible. Give her a round of applause. That was great.
It's just a man front row like, I don't get it.
She'll explain it to you. Okay. Gordon.
Yes, sorry. So she. So I just kept lying and pretending that I didn't have anything. And then eventually, later that night, when we got to the place we were supposed to be going to, and we'd been released, I was so relieved and all the adrenaline had gone, and I drank a lot. Like yeah. I said, I was really, really quite drunk. And I was turning to my friend and I was starting going, she kept saying to me, if you've got anything, like, tell them. And I just said, I didn't, but I knew I had. But what I hadn't realised was that A, she was sat right next to me, and B, because I was really drunk, I wasn't whispering. I'm actually talking quieter now through this microphone than I was at the time. It didn't go well.
Did you not like just have the biggest spliff of your life after that, though?
Well, no, because the police had taken away the remaining.
Oh, but I thought you said they didn't get it.
No, they did find it,
but it wasn't enough to.
No, it was such a tiny amount that, like, fortunately, and there was a man behind me having, like, he had like about like a block this big being weighed, and I was just standing there, and it was the day before my birthday, and as I was filling out my details, and I had to put my date of birth, and
that's how he got off. He's just like, "It's my birthday." Well,
the army guy behind me, when I filled out my date of birth, just went, "Oh, how good," which is the Italian way of saying happy birthday. And I was like, "Oh, thanks very much."
Oh, I love that. Sass. Oh my god. Well, Gordon, thank you so much. Here's a bottle of Prosecco. Give it up for Gordon.
Thanks so much.
Oh man. Well, we have got just enough time to say, Abby, tell us about yourself. I mean, you are doing a show at the Edinburgh Fringe. Let these people know.
Yeah. So for the listeners,
maybe not tonight.
It's in like 20 minutes. Yeah. So for the listeners, I'm really pretty. You can't see that, but it's true. You can find me on all platforms at Abby Clark Comedy. Which I do regret, because it means that if I don't post anything funny, I get hate. And sometimes you just want to post a fit pic, you know, but they don't let you.
Literally, you have a show in 20 minutes, so we better wrap this up. But Abby, thank you so much for being with us. It's been so much fun.
You.
Yeah. So everybody give it up for Abby Clark.
Yay!
Abby!
Thank you. I love you all.
So we are Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Yay!
Yeah, thank you, Abby!
Thank you so much. Gordon, see you in 10.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman, with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then write it in a review and we'll solve it. Thank you to Acast, and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.